It's good to be here in Portland, Owen, and to be among you, and thank the Reverend Stewart for his welcome on this deputation meeting. As he's already made you aware, I'm not Noreen McAfee. That's obvious, not obvious. But she's so busy on the field, and the mission board has made some of the members of the mission board to do some deputation meetings, and Portland Owen was one of them that was allocated to myself. And she's a very busy lady, but she'll be home again at the end of July for her furlough. She has 6 months furlough in the year, but during those 6 months she does deputation meetings, so she'll be doing other deputation meetings once she comes home. So we're very delighted to be here tonight, and we'll be showing a video, and it'll explain the whole work there in Uganda. Some time ago in 2017, I was asked to go to Uganda, and I've visited several times there to see the work progressing. And the Lord is really blessing in a mighty way. It'll not be said on the video tonight, but they got an opening recently. Was it last week? The Reverend Crane went down into a prison, and they got the opening to go into the prison to speak the gospel and to bring to those prisoners their need of the Savior. And a wonderful experience happened. There was 11 prisoners professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the meeting. So just pray in your time of prayer, pray that the Holy Spirit will work upon their hearts and make them new creatures that are in Christ Jesus. But tonight we'll turn to the scriptures in Luke chapter 5. In the Word of God, we'll turn to Luke chapter 5. And we find in this portion of Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry and his popularity as he spoke about the kingdom of God among the people. And chapter 5, and a few thoughts this evening I'll bring to you in the help of the Lord. And with the Word of God open, let's have a wee word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we approach thee in and through that name that is above every name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we come and we, Lord, consider thy word, and we pray, Father, that you will take this vessel and, Lord, empty me of self. Empty me of anything that is not of thee. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we open thy word, we pray that those who listen to thy word tonight in this congregation, we pray that you'll write your word upon all our hearts, upon my heart and upon the hearers' hearts. And we pray, Father, that you'll pour your Spirit out upon us and help us to speak as thus and thus saith the Lord. Third person of the Trinity, Holy Ghost, come upon us now and bless thy word to our hearts. In the Savior's name we ask it. Amen. Chapter 5 and the verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and there were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought the ships to the land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 11. In this narrative of God's word, we have the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, speaking to those around about him and healing those who were sick. We find in chapter, if you go back into chapter 40, we find the setting here. And when the sun was setting, all they that had any sickness and divers diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. Here we have the situation where the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, and the people were desiring to hear the word of God. We find that in chapter 5 and the verse number 1, and that wee phrase there, and they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the day that we live, in the age that we live, that people would be pressing to hear the word of God? You know, whenever we think of the work here in Portland Owen or Macrofelt or in Uganda, you know, we would joy to see the people that would be moved by the Spirit of God to come to hear the word of God. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and those who came and were touched by him were immediately healed. You know, whenever we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and come and accept him as our own and personal Savior, he takes us up and he uses us for his honor and for his glory. And here we find here the situation that the people pressed upon him, and there he was. And if you could, with your mind's eye, see him, the people pressing upon him. The next day, it says, and when it was day, verse 42 of chapter 4, and when it was day, he departed and went into the desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. They were so desirous to hear the word of God and so desirous to hear Christ speaking. It's something that we desire to have from the mission board on the mission field in Uganda, or whether it's in Kenya or in India or Pakistan or in Nepal or down there in the Philippines. We desire for the people to hear the word of God. And we find here in chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ was pressed down upon the Lake Gennesaret, what did he see? He saw two ships. It was very interesting, this. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 10, and you find there the the call of the apostles, Matthew and the chapter 10 and the verse 1. And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And there you find in those names, the names of the 12 apostles were these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John. These four fishermen, after a period of time, they still, when they were called as disciples, they were still in their daily employment here at this particular time when the Lord Jesus came down to the edge of Lake Gennesaret. And those two ships, they were ships of Simon and Simon and Andrew and James and John. And they were fishermen at this time. This was a period of time after the Lord had called them into discipleship. But they were serving the Lord in their own way. But here they were fishermen. And this was a case where the Lord Jesus saw the end from the beginning. He saw, whenever he saw the two ships, he asked one of the, he asked Simon, could he enter into the ship? But when he asked Simon, what was Simon Peter doing? He was washing his nets. That's a wonderful thought, whenever you think of that. Again, he was washing his nets. How can a fisherman go out and fish with dirty nets? How can a believer go out and witness for the Lord if there's sin in his heart? If there's uncleanness in his heart, the Lord can't use an unclean vessel. He'll only use those who are clean, and a clean vessel in the Master's use. And we think of our sister, Miss McAfee, and all that she has given up, all that she has given up to serve the Lord. You know, there's times that she would be on the field, and if she was here tonight standing and in our deputation meeting, she would say that there's times that she is there alone with the Lord and seeking the Lord's help in every aspect of her life on the mission field and all the different difficult situations that she has to handle. And here we find the Lord Jesus, after a period of time, he came upon Simon Peter and James and John and Andrew. And what they were doing, they were fishing. And the Lord asked Simon, he got into Simon's ship, and he said there in verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. What was this thought here in the scriptures for us tonight? Here was Christ, the uplifting of Christ. Uplifting of Christ and his teaching ministry in that crowd that was there on the hillside at the edge of the lake of Gennesaret. And there we find Simon's little boat being used as a pulpit for the Lord to be seen and to be heard, and for the word of the Lord to be heard. You know, whenever we go out to witness for the Lord, you know, we have to have that clean vessel, and we have to be very clear about what we witness concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of redeeming grace. And there the Lord sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. What a wonderful sight that was. But there was something behind, and the Lord knows every thought. He knows all our thoughts, and he knows every aspect of our lives. And he saw the fishermen washing their net, and he saw no fish. And after he had done speaking, the first priority was teaching the people. But then he took a very personal interest in Simon Peter, Andrew, and James and John. And that interest was that they had toiled all night, and the Lord knew this. And on the mission field, many times the missionaries have toiled for years upon years upon years and never see, maybe as they see in their eyes, never see any results that has occurred on the mission field. And here it was just like the Savior saw in Simon's life that night. He saw that there was no catch, there was nothing. They were disappointed in their catch that particular night. But the Lord Jesus said unto them in verse 4, look with me there in verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know, this was an interesting thought. The fishermen went out at night to fish because the fish came up to the surface of the Lake Gennesaret. But here the Lord Jesus was showing his creative hand, his sovereignty over everything, even over the fish of the sea. And it's so in the mission field. It's so in the work in Portland Owen. The Lord is sovereign over all. And he will bring in the catch, because salvation is of the Lord, and it's the same on the mission field. The same with for our sister Nori. And she has launched out into the deep. And so it was with Simon. They launched out into the deep. And you find there that, you know, there was a lack of faith in Simon's part, but he went at the word, at the call of God. And so with her sister Noreen, when she heard the call of God to leave Kenya to go to Uganda, she obeyed the voice of the Lord. It was just like launching out into the deep. It's like any of us going out to witness for the Lord. We're launching out into the deep. But whenever we have, like Simon that particular day, when he had the Lord beside him in the boat, and the little boat, all that he had, all of the worldly possessions that he had, a fishing boat, he gave it to the Lord, and he lent it to the Lord to preach to the people that particular day to hear the word of the Lord. Verse number 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's a great comfort for us all. Great comfort for Noreen whenever she went to the mission field. Whenever we all seek to do the Lord's will, we need to get the word from the Lord. We always need to get confirmation from the Lord. No matter what it is, get down to the word of God, and then we can go with confidence and knowing that the Lord is with us. And you find here that the results of what happened, there were so many fish were enclosed in the net that particular day, that even all those around about them, all those who were there that particular day, those who were standing on the seashore, even the fishermen that were in the boats, everyone saw the great miracle that the Lord had wrought that day. Whenever we see the workings of the Lord on the mission field, in the years that I have been on the mission board, and I see the development of the work there in Uganda, it encourages me. And surely it would encourage you, dear believer here tonight in Portland Owen. Whenever you see the video You'll see the encouragement of the work there and for the souls that have come to know the Savior. And Simon Peter, when he saw this, you know, there's a great humility here. He fell down at Jesus' feet. Every blessing that you, believer, have received today, you get down on your knees and thank the Lord for every blessing. Whenever you look at situations of many people, you are so blessed to be here tonight to hear the Word of God. There's so many in our district and are going to places of worship, idol worship, and they haven't heard about this wonderful redemption through Jesus Christ's precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. This is the greatest news that we can proclaim. And here we find that Simon humbled himself before the Lord, and as I say, all those around about him, and all those that that were there at that particular time. But we find here the call to Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. Look at it there in verse number 10, at the end of verse number 10. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What a wonderful call. And it's prefaced with those two words, fear not. And I trust, believer, tonight that you fear not. Fear not the powers of the devil, because Christ has conquered the devil on the cross of Calvary and he shed his precious blood, and we live in the victory. So fear not. Fear not to pray tonight. Maybe you've been fearing to pray. You know, I all the time, I feel inadequate in prayer. I feel inadequate where I'm at tonight, but the Lord told me to fear not. Even the first call that I went to Uganda there, Jeremiah's word in the chapter 1, and Jeremiah said he was a child, and the Lord says, fear not. So fear not tonight as you serve the Lord. And you find here, at the end, and this I close tonight, and then we'll see the video. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. That's what a missionary does. If they forsake their family, they don't forget about their family, but they have one mind in serving the Lord. The same for any full-time Christian worker. They forsake all those things and they serve the Lord. One day we all stand before God. We give an account in his presence. I hope, whenever I stand before the Lord, that I stand in the righteousness of Christ and what he has done for me. Not in any work or anything that I have done, but what Christ has done for us in the cross. And it'll be the same for every missionary and every full-time worker and every believer. It is Christ alone. All that I have and all that I need is Christ and his salvation. Amen. May the Lord bless this few thoughts of the word tonight. And I trust you'll remember the work there. And maybe you come to your time of prayer, there'll be prayer points. But you'll remember, as Mr. Stewart has mentioned, the prayer cards there at the door. Remember the Uganda work and how to subscribe to it. The deputation meetings, they're really, those meetings are really the monies that are lifted tonight goes to Miss McAfee's fund, and that through that fund the mission board pay her wages, and that is how you're keeping the missionaries on the field. And we trust that you'll keep this in mind as you give to the work there in Uganda. May the Lord bless.
Sorry, the computer battery died, so we'll have to just wait for it to power up here. It was working.
Greetings to you all, and thank you for attending this deputation meeting. I'm sorry I can't be there in person due to demands on the field, but I'm grateful to those members of the Mission Board who are standing in for me at this time. I personally wanted to thank you for all your prayerful and practical support for me as a missionary and for the work at Emmanuel. I hope you will be encouraged as you watch this video presentation. I suppose it's mixed feelings coming home for this deputation. In some ways, it would have been lovely just to stay on the field, but I realise there's the need to present the work to the people at home. It has been a very unusual term, probably one of the most difficult, really, since I went to the mission field because of COVID. Because of children not being in school, because of workers coming and going. But the Lord has been good, and he has undertaken, and he's blessed in so many ways and done far more than really I could have imagined in that space of time. And it's all the Lord's doing. It's the prayers of God's people, it's the giving of God's people, and it's also the contribution of my colleagues and the people who have visited us on the field. Personally, you cope with it by, first of all, taking it to the Lord. And generally, that has been my response. I don't probably share much with people at home. You just look to the Lord, and the Lord has carried me through and helped me. The Lord has definitely opened a door for us there and has really shown us many tokens for good. We had the move at the VBS. We've had others who've professed faith since as well. Even just this past term, we've had children who've come to trust in the Lord. So we do praise him for that, and we take it as a token of his grace and his seal of approval, really, on the ministry and what we're seeking to do. When I arrived in Uganda, there certainly was a big difference between what I was experiencing in Kenya and what I came to in Uganda, but I knew that and I was well prepared for it. Through time, there have been many improvements on site. Andrew Foster has done a tremendous amount of work improving not only the accommodation for the missionaries but for the school and for the whole work. So my living accommodation is very comfortable now. Climate-wise, it's warm, but it's a much more humid heat than we have in Kenya. We're really on the shores of the lake. We can see the lake in the distance, and we're living in a swamp, so it's very humid. We are in a rural setting. We're about 5 kilometres from the closest tarmac road. In the rainy season, that can be challenging enough, but we're thankful for the vehicle that we have. It was a real boost, and it certainly gets us around. One of the things people comment on is the fact that you have to run about and get everything. In Uganda, some of the recent visitors, they said, "Oh, we just order that online and they deliver it." So in Uganda, you don't order anything online and nobody delivers anything. You have to go and get it yourself, whether it's in Masaka, which is about 40 minutes away, or Kampala, which is about 3 hours away. You have to go, look for it, buy it, load it up and bring it home yourself. That's just how the country works. Apart from the normal work in running a school, there is a lot of work to keep the mission legal in the country. So we're registered as a company. Our company returns to be submitted every year. We're also registered as an NGO, so there are returns that have to be submitted for that as well. We have to submit quarterly returns for the OVC project. Have to lodge your accounts, of course, with Uganda Revenue Authority. So yes, there's a fair bit of administration. It's maybe a part that people don't see. They think you're always out preaching or teaching or giving out tracts, but there's a lot of ordinary things that have to be done just to keep the work going in a foreign context. The highlight of the last term was definitely the VBS. The Vocational Bible School. Having the team from the home church, just having all the activity on site, how much the children and the young people enjoyed it, and best of all, the number who came to know Christ, that really was way beyond our expectations. And the Lord just moved in a way that I've never seen before, either at home or in Kenya or anywhere I've been. And that really was an amazing thing. It was a great encouragement, probably especially coming so early on in my time in the work. I don't know if the Lord will move like that again, but certainly it was a very, very special time. And it was a great encouragement to me, to the others on the field, to the team who came. It was just a great encouragement all around. How are you?
Yeah, all right, thank you.
All right, you may sit down. When I arrived, obviously, the school wasn't licensed, it wasn't registered. The Reverend Kelly and his wife had done a very good job in establishing it and keeping it going for a number of years. We were very keen to see that it did get licensed and it did get registered. So there was a lot of work had to be put in to try and realise that. Buzzy, how is everything? Somehow better. Better than what, P6? In terms of academics, we have seen some improvement. We're grateful for the efforts of the staff, and especially the head teachers, who've really contributed a lot to that. That's been reflected in the exam results. I have to say the children have worked very hard as well. They appreciate the opportunity that they get at Emmanuel. And they don't want to lose it at all. It's very much a team effort and a combined effort to see the progress that has been made. How is the work for P5? It's easy. So we should have sent you on to P6. We have 448 children in school this year, so just about 90 of those are in boarding, and they come from more distant areas. The rest then are all from the neighbouring villages, about 8 local villages around us, but the majority of them come from Chambala and Insala. The families are certainly needy. We've many cases of children who are single orphans. One parent has passed away, some are double orphans. Many are living actually with grandparents because the middle generation has passed away, so we have the grandparent taking care of the grandchildren. It's very difficult for them at that stage in life to try and provide for young children to meet all their needs. The community really does appreciate the school. We have a school management committee and a board of governors for the high school. The local chairman is a member of that, and some of the other local representatives sit on it as well. He continually comes to thank me for the school and for all that we do in the community. It's really, really appreciated. Some days I feel like the school is the local crisis centre. You know, whatever happens in the community, it will make its way to the school. Somebody passes away, somebody is sick. Somebody has an emergency, it's the place they all think of running to. So it's probably one of the nicest things, really, is the sense of community. During COVID, people were really locked down, and it had a serious effect economically in the country. Movement was very much restricted as well, and most people, they are doing manual work, or they're relying on selling just in the local market or something like that, and markets were closed. That wasn't even an option. So people really were struggling to survive. We felt as a mission, if it was possible, that we really should try to do something to assist them. So we were able to give out food packages a number of times to over 650 families. Again, in the closest villages, Chambala and Salu, and some of the school families that were a little bit further away. So people really, really appreciated it. It was a surprise, they weren't expecting it, but they really, really appreciated it. As well as the school being locked down, the church was obviously in lockdown as well for a time. It was very difficult really to do anything because again, most people don't have access to internet. Even if they have a smartphone, they can't afford the data to watch anything online. But whenever things opened up again, we were able to call the people back. We didn't have a man on the ground to preach for us, so we're really grateful to all the people who helped and who preached on Zoom, and it really helped to maintain the work and to feed the flock. Once travel opened up again, then we were delighted to have people coming out again to help us. We had those who came before COVID, we've had those who have come more recently, and that has been a tremendous help. On the ground, we have the Ugandans, of course, so we have Master Ronald and Master Thomas and Master Israel. They've been a great help in leading the meetings and translating, whether on Zoom or in person, and even in helping with the other outreach works as well. So we really appreciate their efforts too. But we really do need a full-time minister, and I know the people there are praying seriously that the Lord would lead somebody to come to Emmanuel and to take on the work full-time. But those who've come have been a tremendous help. They've really got on board, they've got involved in all aspects of the work, and it has been a tremendous help to us and a tremendous encouragement to us at this time. Because we have children in boarding, it means really that when school is on, the work is on 24/7. They're there from the beginning of term till the end of term. They really just live with us. It's like having a big family, a very big family. They're a great help on the compound, actually. Whenever they're around, they do a lot of cleaning and tidying up and those sorts of things as well. Certainly a very lively place for the children and the boarders especially. At the moment, we've 121 in nursery. We have 376 in primary, and then the rest in high school, 71. We are bottom heavy, so as classes move up, the population is steadily increasing. Of the school really is for the most part financed by the sponsorship company. Parents pay a very nominal school fee, but really we rely on the support of the sponsors, and that covers the salary of the teachers. It covers the food, which is another major bill, and food prices have gone up. The cost of everything really is always on the rise, whether it's stationery, whether it's the supplies that we give to the boarders, even medical items. But we are really thankful to those who support and who give sacrificially so that the work can go on and the work can be continued. Certainly the parents appreciate it, and the children really appreciate it. I think it's one of the reasons why the children are so happy. They feel that school is a safe place. They don't have to worry about are they getting fed. They don't have to worry about will they get treated if they get sick. They don't have to worry about any of those things, whereas at home, those things are a daily worry and a daily concern for people. So when they come to school, they're just happy. And some of them were arriving at 6 a.m. in the morning. We had to ask them to come a little bit later. And some of them, we have to chase them home in the evening. Those who are not in boarding, it's like they just love the place. That's all through the support, really, that we get. From home, it wouldn't be possible if we didn't have that help from our sponsors and from people who give gifts to the work. It is Emmanuel Christian School, and it is our prayer that we wouldn't just be Christian in name only, as opposed to Muslim, Roman Catholic, or something else that's there on the ground. But we desire that Christ would be exalted in everything, every day, there on that compound. So whether we're doing sports, or whether we're teaching mathematics, or whether it's history, or really whatever we're doing, and it's our desire that Christ would be exalted, and that the children would not just see it as this is just education, and that the Bible is separate, but that really it is a part of everything that we do. Desires would be one, that the Lord would send us a man to preach in the pulpit at Emmanuel. And we really would ask people to pray for that, for the church to go forward. We really need a man full time, and we're really praying that the Lord would supply that need. I suppose the other one is that the school would continue, that grow, that would strengthen, that it would be maintained, both spiritually, academically, that it wouldn't lose the vision, that we wouldn't lose the vision, but that it would go forward and really go from strength to strength. I suppose when the Lord called me, first of all, to go to Kenya, I was very, very sure that it was what the Lord wanted me to do. And then again, when the Lord called me to move to Uganda, it was as clear. Everybody kept telling me how it wasn't like Kenya, and I suppose things that should have put me off. Yet the more I heard, the more I knew that was where the Lord wanted me to go. That I was to prepare my stuff for removing, and I was to go there, out into the regions beyond. And again, the Lord has given me a tremendous peace, really, there. And in spite of difficulties, or in spite of lockdown, in spite of changes in personnel, or any other thing really that has come across, I know in my heart that that's where the Lord wants me to be. That keeps you grounded, keeps you settled. I know sometimes people talk about that poor wee girl that went to Africa, you know, as if it was this terrible sacrifice that you went away to this horrible place and did this very hard work, but I never see it like that. I just always think of the tremendous opportunity and privilege that it is to serve the Lord anywhere. But even to go to a place like that and to serve the Lord, I never feel discontent. You know, I often think of that verse, godliness with contentment is great gain. And I'm content where I am, because it's where the Lord has put me. And there's no better place than where the Lord wants us to be. I hope that gives you some insight into the work at Emmanuel, and I ask that you will continue to pray for me, that I would have health and strength, wisdom and energy for the demands of the work, and by God's grace be all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. For the school, that God would bless our 448 children academically and spiritually, and our assembly and Bible study times. That he would work in and through our 31 members of staff and bless them in their various responsibilities, especially our head teachers. That the Lord would watch over our past pupils who are now in employment or further education, and those who are taking A-level or vocational courses in nursing, tailoring, and mechanics. That he would prosper those being assisted in the agriculture projects which we run with our neediest families, and that he would guide us as we seek to develop additional facilities and seek registration for the high school. Please also remember to pray for the church, that God would move in our regular weekly meetings, in the open-air outreach and through the distribution of gospel literature, that he would encourage and strengthen the believers and be pleased to save other precious souls, that he would help Elijah and Thomas, our two young men who are taking the Bible Training Institute course, and that he would send us a man to take up the ministry in Emmanuel on a full-time basis. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth labourers into his harvest field. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you abundantly.
Well, we thank God's servant for coming over this evening and to present the work to us, the word of God to our hearts, and we trust that the video has been an encouragement and a challenge. We are certainly blessed to have Miss McAfee as one of our missionaries. She does a tremendous work and does it so willingly and so cheerfully as she serves the Lord Jesus Christ.